Welcome to the e-learning guide for the COVAL Paralegal Training Manual on Sexual and Gender-Based Violence, commonly referred to as SGBV. This e-learning guide will focus on the legal aspects as contained in the Paralegal Training Manual. Let us begin. Rehema, a 13-year-old girl, lives with her grandmother, who sells vegetables at the local market. To make ends meet, she sometimes sells local brew from her house. Rehema's mother works in the city, and her father abandoned the family upon discovering that Rehema could not act like other children, as she was unable to speak until she was 5 years old. Upon taking Rehema to the hospital, the doctor told the grandmother that Rehema has low speech and her intellectual capabilities are a third of a six-year-old. As such, Rehema can only communicate with the grandmother who understands her. Through the support of a charitable organization, her grandmother enrolled Rehema in a nearby school. The neighbors do not like Rehema playing with their children, as they accuse Rehema of being a bad omen and being violent to them. The children also call Rehema names. Rehema's grandmother often leaves early and comes back late, leaving Rehema alone. Kitoto, one of Rehema's uncles, knows that Rehema is usually alone most of the time. One day, while Rehema is out playing in the shamba, the uncle approaches Rehema and offers her 5 cents to go back to his house. At his house, Kitoto covers Rehema's mouth and sexually assaults her. When Rehema tells her grandmother that Kitoto did bad manners to her, the grandmother decides not to report the case for fear of mockery and stigma. As you think about this story, please know that Rehema and other thousands of women and girls face similar ordeals daily. How then can you, as a paralegal, assist Rehema and many others in using the law to defend themselves? First, let us begin by learning a few definitions. Who is an intellectually challenged woman or girl? According to the Manual on Mental Disorders, an intellectually challenged person is a person with limitations in intellectual reasoning. Rehema's limited capacity fits into that characteristic. Further, according to WHO, sexual violence refers to a sexual act, attempt to obtain a sexual act, unwanted sexual comments or advances or acts to traffic directed against a person's sexuality using coercion by any person regardless of their relationship to the victim in any setting, including but not limited to home and work. Our first topic of discussion is a legal framework. Let us now examine the Kenyan Sexual and Gender-Based Violence Legal Framework. Kenya has a very progressive constitution that, among other things, safeguards the rights of persons with disabilities and calls for affirmative action in safeguarding these rights. Kenya also has other laws and policies that call for the protection of these vulnerable persons. Under Article 2, Subarticle 5 and Subarticle 6 of the Constitution, all international and regional instruments signed and ratified form part of Kenya's laws. To this end, Kenya has ratified various regional and international instruments that safeguard the rights of persons with disabilities, including the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, and the African Charter on Human and People's Rights. Further, Kenya has also signed and ratified the Convention on the Elimination of all discrimination against women. The Constitution of Kenya prohibits discrimination based on disability and provides for the equality and non-discrimination of all persons under the law. Article 53 requires the promotion of the best interests of the child, while Article 54 requires that persons with disabilities, including intellectually challenged women and girls, to be treated with dignity and respect, and to be addressed and referred to in a manner that is not demeaning. Kenya has enacted other laws to safeguard the rights of women and girls as follows. The Persons with Disabilities Act provides for the rights of persons with disabilities, including the right to be free from all forms of violence. The Protection Against Domestic Violence Act provides for the protection and relief to domestic violence victims, including persons with disabilities, such as intellectually challenged women and girls and the elderly. Under this law, domestic violence includes child marriage, female genital mutilation, forced marriage, forced wife inheritance, interference from in-laws, sexual abuse within a marriage, virginity testing, and widow cleansing. The Sexual Offences Act extends protection to persons living with disabilities to include a caregiver or a person reporting on their behalf. The law, under Section 31, provides for vulnerable witnesses such as intellectually challenged women and girls and older persons, and provides for the role of an intermediary in assisting them during the court hearing. The law also recognizes that children and persons with intellectual challenges cannot give consent. The Penal Code prohibits simple assault as well as an assault which results in bodily harm. The enactment of the Sexual Offences Act repealed most sections relating to sexual violence. It is important to note that Section 146 provides for the offence of rape of persons with intellectual challenges. The section is, however, derogatory and refers to persons with intellectual challenges as idiots and imbeciles. The Prohibition of Female Genital Mutilation Act prohibits the practice of female genital mutilation and safeguards against the violation of a person's mental or physical integrity through the practice of female genital mutilation. The Victim Protection Act provides for the rights of victims of crime, including SGBV, during the pre-trial, during the trial process, as well as the post-trial phase. The Children's Act sets out the rights of children and prohibits discrimination on the grounds of disability and provides for the procedure of safeguarding children. It is important to remember that in every matter concerning a child, the best interest of the child is paramount. The Witness Protection Act provides for the protection of witnesses in criminal cases and other proceedings. Through the Director of Public Prosecutions and the National Police Service, an SGBV survivor or witness can apply for protection to the agency. The Criminal Procedure Code and the Evidence Act provides for the criminal procedures and the rules of submitting evidence in a court of law. The Counter Trafficking in Persons Act prohibits trafficking in persons, and the law defines trafficking in persons as the recruitment, transportation, or the transfer, or the harboring, or receipt of the victim for exploitation. The purpose of trafficking at times includes female genital mutilation, commercial sexual exploitation of children, and child marriage. Kenya has other laws that touch on SGBV, and they include the Marriage Act. This law governs all marriages in Kenya, and it provides for marriage as a voluntary union of a man and a woman. The legislation recognizes the equal rights of spouses throughout the marriage, and prohibits child marriage. The law states that a person shall not marry unless that person has attained the age of 18 years. The Matrimonial Property Act provides for the rights and responsibilities of husbands and wives concerning property acquired when they were lawfully married. This law provides relief from economic violence. The law defines the contribution to marriage as a monetary and non-monetary contribution. It includes domestic work and management of the matrimonial home. This law also recognizes the work that spouses undertake within the family setup. The law gives equal rights to married women and men to administer the matrimonial property. For example, if the matrimonial property is in the name of the husband, the wife must give consent before the sale of the property. Having learned the applicable laws on SDBV, let us now focus on specific definitions of some of the offences. Commercial sexual exploitation of children means sexual abuse by an adult with payment in cash or in kind to the child or a third person or persons. Child trafficking is defined as the recruitment, transportation, transfer, harboring, or receipt of a child for exploitation. Child marriage is any informal marriage or informal union where one or both of the parties are under the age of 18 years. Female genital mutilation comprises all procedures involving partial or total removal of the female genitalia or another injury to the female genital organs or any painful procedure to the female genitalia for non-medical reasons. Our second topic of discussion is a victim-centered approach. Let us now examine the approach in detail. As is required under the law, the following information should reach an SDBV survivor. The survivor has a right to privacy and confidentiality. The police should ensure that the initial interviews of such victims take place in a comfortable, safe environment and in the presence of a caregiver. The survivor has a right to special consideration. The court and the prosecution should give special consideration to the intellectually challenged women and girls and the elderly. The consideration entails the following. First, the court should conduct SDBV cases in a closed courtroom. Second, the court should ensure that cases affecting intellectually challenged women and girls and the elderly are heard on a priority basis to avoid prolonged delays. Third, in cases affecting children, the court should ensure that the perpetrator is not visible to the child during the trial. Fourth, if the survivor is an intellectually challenged woman or girl, the court should appoint an intermediary to facilitate the testimony. Finally, the court should ensure that the survivors have access to support services such as counseling before proceeding with testimony. It is important to remind SDBV survivors to liaise with the prosecution for assistance in filing a victim impact statement. For every matter concerning a child, it is important to remember that the best interests of the child are paramount and that a children officer can place a child in a rescue shelter if need be. Which law then provides for a victim-centered approach in SDBV cases? The Victim Protection Act provides for the rights of victims, including intellectually challenged women and girls and the elderly. Under Section 4 to Section 26 of the law, the victims have their rights enumerated as follows. Victims have the right of audience before any decision affecting them is taken. The victim's dignity should be preserved at every stage of the trial, from the pretrial until the conclusion of the case. Managing a victim requires speaking to them proportionately to their age, intellectual development, and speaking to them in a language of their choice or through an interpreter if necessary. Every victim engagement should consider the victim's cultural values and beliefs. Every victim interaction should protect them from secondary victimization in all informal, administrative, and judicial proceedings. Every victim should enjoy legal and social services of their choice, and if the victim is a vulnerable victim within the meaning of the law, then the state should provide legal and social services. Finally, where a person believes that a victim may suffer intimidation or retaliation from the accused or the offender, the law requires that the Victim Protection Board immediately refer the victim to the Witness Protection Agency, established under the Witness Protection Act of 2006. Our third topic is on reporting and the referral mechanism. Having gained the knowledge of the SGBV laws, how can you, as a paralegal, assist victims once cases are reported? Referral systems are critical in addressing SGBV through a multi-sector approach. Developing referral systems promotes a rounded approach to supporting SGBV survivors through the provision of services such as physical safety and shelter, hotlines, legal, health and social services, as well as psychosocial support. The Government of Kenya has established a coordinated multi-sector response to SGBV that considers the victim on the one hand and the critical justice players on the other. Such justice players include the Office of the Director of Public Prosecution, the courts, the police, the probation, the children's services, and the health sector. The government has put in place relevant policies that establish the SGBV referral pathway for any person affected by violence, including intellectually challenged women and girls and the elderly. Please note the following. Paralegals act as a link between communities and the formal justice institutions. Further, the process for reporting violence is often inaccessible to intellectually challenged women and girls because of inadequate policies and standards, negative attitudes, limited information and communication, as well as lack of service provision and inadequate funding. Paralegals should take steps to empower communities to pursue justice actively. Since many community members cannot afford such services, they rely on paralegals for support. What then is the role of the paralegal in the reporting and referral mechanism? A paralegal should undertake community sensitizations through chief barazas and community policing on the SGBV legal framework. A paralegal should be proactive and identify any SGBV violations that occur against intellectually challenged women and girls or the elderly within their community. Paralegals should provide support to the victims through referral to organizations that offer counseling and legal services, such as COVAL. Paralegals should use the referral pathways to connect intellectually challenged women and girls to appropriate SGBV support services in a timely and safe manner. As a paralegal, you should ensure that you coordinate with community policing members to provide a quick response to SGBV cases. Our final topic of discussion is on effective communication. To ensure that paralegals communicate efficiently with intellectually challenged women and girls, we should understand the following. Intellectually challenged persons typically have learning and understanding limitations that often make it challenging to communicate effectively. Effective communication entails speaking to them in a relaxed manner and using a language that they can easily understand. In this context, as a paralegal, you must employ the following tactics proven to enhance communication with intellectually challenged women and girls. Effective communication with intellectually challenged women and girls, or the elderly, involves engaging a person who understands the needs of the survivor. A paralegal should involve a caregiver or a parent whenever interacting with a child or an intellectually challenged woman or girl. The Victim Protection Act has certain provisions that recognize and protect the well-being of victims. Section 2 of the Victim Protection Act defines trauma as including physical injury, psychological or emotional distress. Section 8, subsection 1, provides that a victim has a right to privacy from the media and confidentiality as to information shared by service providers. Section 11 of the same law provides that any person dealing with a victim shall ensure that the victim is immediately secured from further harm before any other action is taken in relation to them. Section 11, subsection 2C, provides that such services include immediate psychosocial support for the victim. Lastly, section 14, subsection 2A, provides that a victim shall be accorded support and welfare services to deal with physical injury and emotional trauma. This marks the end of this series. With the legal aspects highlighted, a paralegal should comfortably support and help women and girls like Rehema to access justice. Whenever in doubt as to the interpretation of the law, a paralegal should consult with a cover pro bono lawyer or a lawyer near them. For a further and in-depth reading of the laws, please visit www.kenyalaw.org.